Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Happy Friday, TGIF. This is actually a wonderful day, and I'm excited to be hosting The Awakening and our new segment, Sexual Savvy. My name is Lucretia Hayes, for those who are tuning in for the first time. And I have a passion for helping women, helping people in general, and this show is aimed at doing just that. For those of you who maybe missed the groundwork episode that we did last week, one of the things that I did touch on is that the purpose of this show is not to be vulgar or lewd or any of that, but it's actually to give you some direction in an area that most people don't want to talk about. And then when you do find people who are comfortable talking about sex, it's actually a lot of times lewd or vulgar or whatever. And what we're going to do, what we're talking about, is being healthy sexually. You know, of course, all of you probably know that, know me, that I have a specific belief set when it comes to my spirituality. I do believe in God, and so that's my viewpoint, and that's where I come from. However, I do want you to understand, those of you who are listening, I do believe that as part of my faith that I have to accept the fact that everybody doesn't share my faith. So I try to keep the show general enough for it to help everybody, regardless of what religion you subscribe to or whatever. So it's not a religious segment as much as it is an empowerment segment, and I want you guys to really know that. And I want you to know that good thing about it is you're not really talking to me. You're just listening, so you're able to listen from a perspective of honesty where you can actually sit with some of the questions and some of the concerns that I raise and really see where you stand to know for yourself, because until we take honest inventory of self, we're not going to know what needs changing. We're not going to be empowered to make the changes that need to change. Now, with that being said, let me make a couple of announcements, and we'll get into today's show. The first announcement is, of course, I'd like to invite you guys to visit my website. It's www.lucretiahayes.com. There's books there. There's articles. The blog is awesome. I hadn't changed my blog post in a minute because of the last post that I made. It's been on my heart just to leave it up for a while. And now that this is February and Black History Month, I really challenge you to visit my blog, lucretiahayes.com/blog, and read the last two posts and just, you know, sit with that and let that minister to you. Also, guys, I want to make you aware of my book, Cascade of Tears. It's a book that talks about dealing with chronic illness and pain and depression, because oftentimes depression does run hand in hand with chronic pain and lifelong illness. So that book is really, really powerful. I talk about some holistic things and how it's amazing, but this is something that I discovered through walking through sickness myself, that if you begin to correct your thought process and you begin to really just even love yourself, it can literally heal your body. There's a lot of things that I've battled through. Of course, most of you may know I have lupus or was diagnosed with lupus, with Graves' disease, which is a thyroid disorder, with seizures, all of these things. But what most of you probably don't know, that it's in 2006, my doctor gave me a mere 3 to 6 months to live. Of course, I'm still here, guys. I'm not on a whole lot of medicines. It doesn't take a lot. What it takes is faith. And what it takes is actually taking the time to teach your body, you know, to retrain your body against what you've already trained it. If you've been eating bad, if you've not been exercising, if you've been stressing out, now you have to teach your body how to behave differently, because it's used to the tension and the abuse. And now you want to love on your body and reprogram it, so to speak, to do what it was actually created to do, which is to heal itself. So anyway, that's that. So definitely when you're on my website, pick up or look into Cascade of Tears. Now, with that being said, I think I'm ready for us to get into today's show. Today's show is actually awesome, and it was a show idea that kind of came to me in the middle of a conversation with one of my best friends. And she asked me a question, what do I want? And it wasn't in context of any other sentence. It was just a standalone question. So I didn't know what to compare that to. Like, what do I want in a relationship? What do I want in life? What do I want in business? You know, just what do I want? What do you mean? She said, well, you need to know what you want altogether. She said, you don't have to categorize it. What do you want? And so in the midst of us talking about that and me talking my way through to get to the place where she wanted me to be, I saw something that was very powerful, that the majority of us are burning our time and energy and making terrible mistakes primarily because we don't know what we want. We don't know even who we are, and we hadn't sat down long enough to ask ourselves the pertinent questions and to get the right answers. Because half of us, if you really be honest, especially when it concerns dating, what happens is we're somewhere, we meet someone, he seems interesting or she seems interesting. We exchange a few conversational pieces and then numbers, and then the next thing you know, you're in a relationship. And that's how it's been for pretty much a long time. What I'm going to challenge you to do today is to rethink some things. For instance, you know, should a relationship be something that just happens on the fly just because you happen to meet someone and y'all happen to enjoy a conversation? Is that enough of a justification to actually open your life to this person? You know, do you know what you want, and do you know what they offer in comparison to where you're going? One of the biggest things, guys, that I've had to really, really look at when it concerns my failed relationships or the past failed marriages is that I was getting married because I wanted to be married and I wanted to be with someone, but I wasn't marrying someone that I could see my life and my future in. I was just moving. And that's what a lot of us are doing. We're on autopilot. We're just moving. We're not taking time to learn, to grow from various experiences, to ask the questions that need to be asked. So right now I'm going to ask you in this segment, what do you want? Some of you are on lunch break. You're here, you're there, you're wherever. But when you have time, as soon as you have time, I want you to remember to go get you a notebook and just at the top, the very top, ask, what do I want? And then without categories, just go through and list everything that comes to mind that you want. And some of you are going to notice as the list grows that you're a bit inconsistent with your desires. And see, a lot of us, we don't see it because what we focus on is categories. It's like as I'm moving along, I want to laugh, and that's what I want today. I want to laugh. So we meet someone who makes us laugh, and we try to make that into something that is not intended to be. So savvy means having wisdom, knowing how to move and when to move. So when it concerns your sexuality, you got to have more wisdom than to be in a position to be randomly picked up by someone, to be in a position to just fall for something random that you hadn't put prayer, energy, thought into. Guys, I used to stay in a hurry because I felt very insecure. And when people would see that about me and try to tell me, it's like, you're insecure, that's why you're dating this kind of person, that's why you're here, that's what's going on, you know, you need to be by yourself. And I rejected that I needed to be by myself so hard that I also rejected the first part, which is that I'm just making decisions out of low self-esteem, out of fear, out of paranoia. Any relationship that begins because of fear, because of low self-esteem, because of all these things, any relationship that begins like that is going to have problems from the beginning. A relationship on the best terms is not easy, but when we build it on quicksand, on shaky ground, then we're putting ourselves in a position to see everything we build crumble and that crumble to be great, guys. So, again, I want you to make sure that you spend some time thinking about what do you want. Now, I'm going to take a detour here, and we're going to come back and wrap this together. And the detour is about this, sexual abuse. And I'm going to mention this here because it really goes without saying, but it still needs to be said. Those who have been sexually abused are going to approach relationships and dating and sex differently from those who have not. Now, how is the thing? You have some who become overly promiscuous. You have some who actually even turn to alternative sexual lifestyles, and you have some who basically appear normal, but on the inside, sex is really still yet a traumatic experience for them. So they don't have sex very freely, and even when in marriage, they find themselves still locked away because of their original sexual experience, how it came, you know. So it's important that you guys realize this. If you've been a victim of sexual abuse, there is more that has to heal than just you forgiving who done it. That's important. That's a very, very, very important aspect of the process, because you do need to forgive no matter what you've been through. It don't even have to be sexual abuse. Anything in life, learn to forgive quickly, because it keeps your heart free from clutter and it keeps you from getting bogged down in the muck of life. Replaying things that you can't change will not change anything. It will only cause you to miss valuable opportunities. And you don't want to do that. You've already, when you've been through something traumatic, when you, especially any kind of abuse, when you've been through that, you've had so much of your life robbed already. Why let the memories and the anger and the hatred rob you of even more? It's like they have already victimized you, and now you're allowing your mind demise you further day by day by day. That's just like remaining in a place of torture. And all of you guys deserve better than that. God did not put you here to just suffer and suffer and suffer. And that's what some of you feel. And even in relationships, you feel like you've just been suffering and suffering and suffering. And I want to help you to end that suffering. And the first way it ends is for you to stop jumping into and into and into, you just jumping into things. It's for you to begin to stop reacting to your circumstances. Well, you're lonely. Well, you may be horny. And I'm just going to keep it real, guys. I hope it ain't no kids on the line, but if it is, I'm going to try to kind of, I want to make sure I pull this point home to you. It doesn't matter what emotion or what circumstances are going on around you. You are being of purpose, and your sexuality even has a purpose. And when you take it outside of purpose and just use it frivolously, you're causing damage to your core. Guys, there is no enemy that can overcome us except the enemy we allow, except the enemy that sometimes we become to ourselves. You know, your mind can be your best friend or it can be your worst enemy. Your heart can be your best friend or your worst enemy. It's all about you and what you're willing to do, and if you're willing to go back and actually remember who you were supposed to be before all of these things that have happened and all of the things you've seen and all of the things that people have told you. Before all of that, who were you? And when you discover who you were, what did you want then? What do you want now? All of these questions are important. Now, I want to share this story with you guys because it's important, and I think that you guys will get a lot from this. When I, in my prior marriage, and for those of you who don't know, I am actually going through a divorce, but in my prior marriage, I had a really good husband, and I was a good person, but neither one of us were healed, okay? We were both trying to find wholeness in another person before actually healing and becoming whole ourselves. When I hear people say now, this person completes me, you know, the thing is, it makes me wonder what happens then when that person leaves. We have got to learn that you are already created with everything that you need. It's already in there. There is no lack in you. And I love when Armitria, for those of you who are listening to our Thursday shows, Armitria always says this, there's no lack in you. And I've read so many books where it's said, and it's always a powerful statement. Because here's the thing, if you believe there is lack in you, then you'll go out searching for something to fill it. And what you'll discover is it's going to fall miserably short. Because, guys, if you hadn't learned to appreciate all of who you are and see the fullness in yourself, no matter how great of a person you get, you'll just become like a gaping black hole that sucks all the joy, the energy, the life, and the whatever they have, whatever they bring to the table, whether it be money and security or whether it be, you know, comfort, whatever they bring to the table, you will suck it all dry from them, and you will still have that same gaping black hole, because another person cannot heal you. You have to choose to be healed, if that makes any sense. What I'm not saying that when another person comes along that loves you that doesn't supply some of the energy toward healing. But healing cannot happen, I don't care what is going on, if you don't allow it to happen, if you don't choose it. You have got to choose it. Guys, being sexually promiscuous, we're in this society now. I mean, I don't watch much TV, and every time I do, I'm just disappointed because every time it's a girl kissing a girl, a guy kissing a guy, half-naked people all over the place, boobs hanging out, butt hanging out, stripper pose dancing, somebody done slept with somebody's man, somebody got a baby, don't know who it is. It shows where people parade 5 and 6 and 7 and 10 different men on TV to find out who they were pregnant by. That right there is like a cancer to this society. And now we're taught that, well, if you buy a bigger butt and if you buy bigger boobs or if you get the permanent makeup, somebody's going to love you, somebody's going to want you. I see people, guys, that the world would call hideously in love every day. And I see people who the world would call beautiful. Let's use Halle Berry as an example. Gorgeous. But at the same time, have a string of failed relationships because what you appear to be has nothing to do with who you are. And attracting people by shallow means will never get you what you truly want. So you can't use lust to get love. Lust only reproduces after itself and brings about lust. And so the part of you who wants love is still being starved, and even the little bit that you have, you've sold out to have a person in your bed with you. So now you're losing the little bit of self-respect you had, and all of the little bit that you have now is being siphoned away. After a while, you're going to be empty. Do you know why there are so many walking shells, people that might as well be walking dead? These zombie movies to me are real because I see zombies every day. They've sold everything that they have, and they've sold their soul seeking love, seeking acceptance, seeking something that's already there. People die every day, but you're still alive. That's permission to live. Your permission to live also gives you permission to step and be heard. Some of you walk so softly you're afraid that anybody might hear you, might see you, might notice, might not agree, might not approve. And so you're alive but in prison. You're locked away with all of these fears and desires and all of this conflicting stuff going on inside of you. And that is not how you were created to be. Accident, even if your mama wasn't trying to have you. And so even though you may feel like, oh, I needed more love, that's because you're still looking outside of yourself. You're still looking at people. You can't judge God's love for you or your creator's love for you based upon how mama loved you or daddy loved you or any family or friends loved you or the last guy loved you or woman loved you. That right there is not a basis for God's love, which is eternal and is constant throughout eternity. Okay? I want you to get that. His love covers all things, even the multitude of sins. His love will never fail you. What happens when we're not walking in it is we fail to accept it, we fail to embrace it, we fail to walk in it. But it's never him failing to extend it. His love is ever extended towards you. That's important for you to know. So no matter what kind of situation you find yourself in, a lot of us are single and we want to be married, and there's nothing wrong with that. Never let another person make you feel guilty because you want a man or you want a woman. I mean, if you're a man, because, of course, you know, I don't believe in that homosexual movement. I don't discriminate against anybody. Everybody deserves to be treated like a human being. And personally, I don't care to know what's going on in your bedroom. I don't care. That's not for public record. Who cares if you're straight or gay? I don't want to know it. I don't care, you know. I believe how I believe, and the only person's life that affects is mine because I make my own decisions concerning that. So what I'm saying is while you're seeking love, you got to remember that you'll never find any that's going to supply, going to actually fill that hole because you haven't allowed that's already in you to feel it, okay? I think that here I want to just throw this out there, and then we'll go back to where we started. There's nothing wrong with being a woman with a high sex drive. why would God make men with high sex drives and make women to be demure and never like sex? That's the biggest lie the enemy ever told, and it's to keep us locked away and ashamed of how we were created. We are sexual creatures. We are formed through sex. God, after he made us, the first thing he wanted Adam to do is know his wife, be fruitful and multiply. Sex is a good thing. It's wonderful. It feels great, and it's a gift from God. Now, that's just the fact of the matter. But we allow people to make it shameful for us, especially as women, to have a sex drive, to have a desire. All of a sudden, it makes you feel like you're a whore. And so the longer you feel that way, you begin to embrace the things that whores do. But I'm telling you, as a queen, from one queen to the next, and to the next, and any kings that's listening, controlling your sexual appetite is of utmost importance to you. No different than controlling your physical appetite. You can't eat every time you want to eat because it's not always for you to eat. And everything you want to eat, you can't eat. You have to control it. Food don't control you. You control what food you put in your body. Sex is no different, guys. In fact, urges are no different. The Bible tells us, for those who believe and even for those who don't, this is just actual good wisdom, you know, that when you're actually building a city, okay, and I know this is going to sound like it's just weird, but I just want you to think about this. When you're building a city, if the Lord don't keep that city, it's not going to stay kept. No matter how many watchmen you have on the wall and all of that, it's the same thing with sex. You have to remember your creator in it. You know, he gave that to you, and you have to trust him to know what you're supposed to do with it. Just like if he gives you the desire to build a city or to build a church or to build a whatever, he's giving you the desire, he gives you the means, and you can believe that he'll keep it. But you have to believe that he'll keep it. See, one thing that took me a long time to get, and it happened when my, at the time, fiance went to jail for 17 months. I didn't know that I could even go without a man that long until I was forced into that place. And I didn't know that I would want to do without sex that long until I didn't have any choice. And so, well, of course, I had a choice. I could have went and done something else. But in my mind, that just wasn't really an option because I cared about who I had. So during this time of going without all of this, what I thought I needed, the embrace and the hug and the feeling somebody there and the sexual desires being, you know, fulfilled, I learned that it's all an illusion. It's all about what you believe can happen. And as I began to trust God with my sexuality, because he's the one who created it and gave it to me as a gift in the first place, I realized that he has a specific plan for my sexuality and for yours. It's nothing wrong with you being the kind of woman you are. If you want sex three times a day, that does not make you a whore. It does not make you a bad woman. It does not make you loose. What that means is the man who's coming is going to need it just as often as you can get it. And I do believe that we were created for a specific type of person. I'm not going to say a specific person per se, but I know for sure a specific type of person. Everybody can't be with you. And so why even waste time slumming when you know you're a queen? If you go out and take a walk, talking from a queenly perspective, guys, if you go out right now and take a walk through your kingdom and you happen to walk up on the slums where it's dirty, where people are hungry, where people are desperate, where people are hurting, you're walking through that place to see the condition and to make changes for others, not to get in there with them and start slumming and lose your own hope, playing a game. You are the child of a king, and he didn't create his daughters to be loose and weak women. He created you with power. Now, I'm saying this, but I'm not perfect. You can believe that. I have a lot of stories. That's why I write a lot of books. There's a whole bunch of stuff over there to learn about me through my books and about stuff I've seen and just stuff, period, in general. But I've learned that it is only hurting me when I don't let myself heal. See, a sore that never heals remains sore, and it remains a place of weakness where bacteria can attack, where anybody else who wants to come victimize you later can attack. It's a spot of weakness. But when you let it heal, scar tissue is tougher than regular tissue. Did most of you guys know that? But it is, and that's why it looks like that. It's tough. I mean, really tough. You let it heal, and then you learn to avoid certain behavior. There is not a one of you listening right now who God don't want you to have the utmost sexual pleasure if that's what you want. He created it for that purpose. But he gave it to you within boundaries, guys. No different than if someone left you $1 million. If right now I left you $1 million and I said this, okay, I'm going to give you $1 million provided you, number one, finish college. Okay, number two, whatever, whatever, whatever. So I lay out these details. If you do A, B, C, and D, you're going to get your $1 million. If you only do A, B, and then skip C and do D, whatever combination you think you want to do, you forfeit the million because the million is based upon steps A, B, C, and D being done. Why is it important for God to give us steps to get into places of blessing? Why is it important for us to follow a certain line when we want to be in a relationship? Because if you do it A, B, C, D, the way it's supposed to be done, you'll be able to maintain what you get after the D is done. It'll walk you through E, F, G, H, I, J, K. And then at some point, something else will come along and get you through the rest of it. In order, God is a God of order. We got to be people of order because guess what? Everything about you is orderly, honey. Your head, your brain is in your head. It's at the top of your body. You got blood vessels and nerve endings that actually causes every aspect of your body to be linked together, and all of it is controlled by the brain, okay? Breathing in and out actually oxygenizes the body, and it helps the blood flow better, okay? So all of these things have to be done decently in order for your body to keep operating the way it's supposed to operate. Same thing sexually, guys. If you meet a guy, he can be a great guy, but then you do the wrong thing, you bring in a spirit. See, some of you right now are so bitter toward me. And, oh, he dogged me, he did this to me, he did that to me, he slept with me, and he was cheating on me. And you're quick to say he cheated on me, but he wasn't your husband. So who was really cheating on who? He never made a commitment. You put your body out there, and you didn't get for it what you thought you deserved. And so now you're broken. That's not his fault, guys. I'm telling all of you ladies right now, stop it. Stop it with the bitterness toward men. Stop the male bashing. Stop all of that because the fact of the matter is you are a grown, consenting adult. You know the Lord, and you know that he has higher, and he wants more for you. Therefore, do better. If you know better, you do better, ladies. I'm not going to condemn you because I can't. We've all made the mistakes, but what I can do is encourage you to know for sure, that God is not withholding any good thing from you. If it's good, he created it. And if he created it with you in mind. However, you have to keep this in mind by that same token. If you misuse the gift, you can't be mad at the person who created it. You have to look at the source of the problem, which is the person who abused the gift. Guys, in Sexual Savvy, we're going to go deep. And next week what we're going to discuss and what I want to discuss is actually learning about a healthy sexual appetite and how to use it. Because, guys, you know what? There's nothing wrong with being sexy either. You don't have to look like a mom while you're single. If you want to be sexy, you can be sexy without being skanky, and we're going to talk about that. I appreciate you guys. Be sure today, sit down with yourself and discover what you want. And you deserve everything that you can imagine having because God said he wants to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Thank you again for listening to our segment, Sexual Savvy. I look forward to bringing you some guest hosts and everything else. Well, I will see you guys same bat time, same bat place next week. Have a blessed and prosperous and productive weekend.